Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You are now listening to The Awakened Soul.
Welcome to The Awakened Soul. I want to apologize for this episode being a little late. Just this week got away from me with getting ready and preparing for the Black Panther live show. I did do a test with Fame Black on that. We did a Stay Woke segment, which is going to be in this podcast. So when you hear it referenced as the live show, that's what it means. We were live on Periscope. The new Awakened Soul Live. I'm really enjoying this, and I can't wait till the Black Panther review with Oversaturated, both Johnny and Ralph. This is going to be fun. It's going to be different. You're going to get to see my face, so I don't know if that's a positive or negative to some people, but nonetheless, so be on the lookout for that. That's going down on the 18th at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, so definitely check that out on Periscope. If you go to my Twitter, at CEO Hayes, that's at CEO Haize, you can definitely catch that when it's live. But nonetheless, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get into the show. So we got that segment that we did live. It's the Stay Woke segment with Fame Black. And then on top of that, we do have Jackson coming back with another dating horror story.
The awakened soul.
All right, now, so this has just been a wild week. Like I said, between me preparing for this live show on Sunday, reviewing Black Panther, and just everything that's going on in the world, you know, some of that we get to talk about in the Stay Woke segment with Fame. But Quincy Jones, what the Quincy? At this point, Quincy is like that drunk uncle, the great uncle who shows up and he's already drunk, and you never know what he's gonna say. He could say something that completely like enlightens you and gives you like life advice, or it can completely be something that just shatters your soul. Like between his comments on Michael Jackson and saying Michael Jackson stole songs, and then the Richard Pryor thing, where I'm sure everyone knows about. We're not gonna go ahead and break it all re-break it down, but It's concerning, comical, all kind of rolled up in one, just because you don't know really what place Quincy Jones is in. You know, he's older, so who's to say if he's all the way lucid? Or, you know, old people sometimes just don't give a fuck. So it could just be that, or it could be something deeper going on. I'm not really qualified to speculate too much on that, so I'm not going to get too far into it. But I will say, anyone who's not aware of what I'm talking about, just Google Quincy Jones at this point. I'm sure it's going to be the first thing to come up, because it's probably the most recent. And just check that out. Like I said, some of the things he had to say about Richard Pryor having a gay relationship with Marlon Brando was just... that was a little wowing to me. But, I mean, Richard Pryor has openly talked for decades before he passed away about the fact that he experimented with gay relationships. So, I mean, it was kind of mind-boggling just because it's Marlon Brando. But at the same time, anyone who's followed Richard Pryor has really been a fan of Richard Pryor. You guys aren't too shocked by some of these allegations, just because, you know, some of the stuff that Richard Pryor has done. I mean, even Richard Pryor at one point, I believe he was something pro gay, I believe, at the time, gay rights or gay activists, and he talked about some of his homosexual experiences, which the crowd just was loving at the time. They supported him, and in the middle of that same performance, they turned on him because of just how wild he got with some of the stuff he was talking about. So, I mean, this stuff is out there. It's not anything completely new. Like, yes, the Marlon Brando name drop is, but, you know, no one should be shocked that Richard Pryor experimented, if you're a real fan. But to back off that, I want to talk about Something we didn't really get much into on the last episode when we had our Super Bowl reaction, and that is the fallout. Just of the Justin Timberlake, like you hear people talking about his performance and if he should have been the one to do a tribute to Prince or not. I'm of the mindset with that is you were in Prince's hometown. You had to do something for Prince. Even if, you know, they people are saying, coming out saying that Prince didn't really care for Justin Timberlake, you know, you have to sometimes put that personal stuff to the side with certain things and just pay homage to someone who is a pioneer, one of the best artists to ever do it. And with that said, on the next episode, well, the next episode is the Black Panther review, but the episode after that, gonna have a retrospective on Prince's legacy with Billy Ray Valentine and the Andrew Bello. It's gonna be a fun episode. We got a few other things planned for that episode. Anyone who's into conspiracy theories, definitely check that episode out because it's gonna, and not conspiracy theories with Prince, just separately from that. So yeah, definitely be prepared. Prepare your hearts and minds for that. But I do want to talk about, while we're not reviewing Black Panther right now in this episode, I do want to talk about the Black Panther album, which was put together by Kendrick Lamar. I like to think there's some tracks that I really don't care for on here. I'm just going to be completely honest. I'm not going to act like it. I'll just fall head over heels for every track on this album because I didn't. But I will say, like, as a motion picture soundtrack, it's definitely up there. As a piece of work as far as music, it's all there. Check it out. I feel like overall it's a dope album. Like I said, I'm not very much, if you guys haven't tell, new age with some music, so some of it just I just don't like the sound of some of the stuff musically that comes out nowadays. But overall, this album I really thoroughly enjoy from top to bottom. That Nipsey Hussle that dropped today, matter of fact, there will be a review on that because I am feeling that very much. So I'll find somebody to review that with me as well. But yeah, man, this has been Out of the Mind of CEO Hayes. You know, I called the segment Off the Rip. We're thinking about changing that just because, shout out to my boys over at Oversaturated, which check out their sound drop for the Off the Dome segment. I believe I know the person who made it. Nonetheless, enough shameless plugs. But yeah, so we kind of I started calling it Off the Rip and they started calling it Off the Dome around the same time. But it's just too similar. And I don't want to step on my boy's toes. So I'm going to change it. Change the name of the segment. I'm going to kick some names around. Submit some names to me. I'm rambling. Let's get into the first segment of this podcast, which is a segment with Fame Black. This is pulled from the Awakened Soul Live on Periscope. But I think it's a dope conversation that I wanted to pull and present to the ones who just listened to the podcast. So that's going to be the first segment. Me and Fame talking about Trump's proposed food stamp repeal. Nonetheless, I'm done rambling. But yeah, so the changes that Trump proposed making to the food stamp plan. But yeah, so we're gonna get into a brief musical break. On the other side of that is gonna be me and Fame Black.
A boy is born in hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by for one that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can...
All right, Fame.
Well, this will be fun.
We're live. And ladies and gentlemen, anyone who's stepping into this show, let me welcome you to the Awakened Soul Live. As you can see,
I
got the lovely
flame back.
I'll explain that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see you. You can't see me, but we'll fix that out later.
All right, John Cena, cool.
Yeah, can't see me. But we're here to discuss and talk about Fame Black taking over the Awakened Soul for a minute for a topic that he put together, and I must say, it's a hell of a topic. Fame, what's going on, man?
Well, you know, first of all, what's going on, Hayes? I feel honored to be here. I feel honored that you like give me a segment. I feel like if you were Jon Stewart, then I'm Stephen Colbert. When he first started the little bit that he had on this show before he got the Colbert Report, you know, I find it funny that this is the Awakened Soul and we got these stay woke segments. And I feel like this is right in that vein because I want to talk about something very recent. President Trump, 45, Mr. Orange, whatever you want to call him. He dropped this, you know, just an idea. I'm not even going to say he wrote the bill up or, you know, anything's passed or anything is in action. He just kind of proposed this idea for food stamps that they stop being stamps. Whatever these people get is going to be halved. And they'll get these ration boxes of food, you know, preserved food, grains, cereals, things like this nature. There's a lot of backlash. President Trump gets a lot of backlash for almost anything that he does. I mean, this man farts in the morning and people are like, oh, my God, can you believe he farts in the morning? Obama would have never done anything like this. But, I'm not ragging on it. You know, an idea is an idea. He's trying to save the budget or whatever. And that's pretty presidential, I guess. But I feel like in this time, it's important to explain all the misconceptions that people have about food stamps and who's on them and what exactly is going on with them. Hold on, I can't see myself because my phone just... There we go. All right. Back to the action. Hold on. Stretch it out. Back to the action. So a lot of people don't know. It was created for white people from the rip.
Okay.
All right. From the 40s, it was a system where you could buy one orange stamp, right? And that would be your food. And when you get orange stamps, you get blue stamps, and that's like your extra. So it's like, all right, this is my extra food. And when you buy the orange ticket, you get an extra blue ticket. So, you know, it's free for you because you're poor and you get to exchange those stamps for extra food, you know, so that you can, you know. And back then, it food was what? Like a turnip or something. I have no idea. But what I do know is it was for coal miners, the kids that were malnourished and all this other stuff. So they did it during the Great Depression. This is, you know, the 30s. In 1943, America came out of the Depression. We won the war and all this other stuff. Or we were winning the war, rather, and all this other stuff. So it seemed like we were doing all right. So they discontinued the program. Kennedy brought it back in 1961. He went to West Virginia, and he saw more coal miners' kids and all this other stuff. And he saw that they had these prepackaged meals with all this preserved food in them. It was like, excess lard and cornmeal and stuff like that. And the same kind of just basic nutrition that's kind of suggested in these boxes that Trump is suggesting. Kennedy saw these while he was campaigning and was like, oh, absolutely not. We got to get the poor on a better food system. So he got them off of the boxes that the coal mines were offering. And once again, he built it for white people. I mean, yes, black people were going to start to benefit, but when they begun, only white people could get food stamps. They really fixed it up and made it the whole, you know, thing with the real stamps and everything that it was supposed to be in 1977 with Jimmy Carter and all that. But a lot of people don't even know. Even today, 40% of people on welfare, on food stamps specifically, are white people.
I didn't know that myself.
40%. And that's like a new number. I mean, because you have the rise, you know, black people at 25%, Hispanics at 10%, but you have the rise of Asians, Indians, Russians, things like that. Other people who are just getting hip to the food stamp game, because a lot of times when, you know, on an immigrant status, you weren't eligible for food stamps. A lot of that has changed thanks to President Obama. Now, a lot of people think that, it costs a lot of money. Like, oh, my God, you know, everybody's on food stamps is going to cost so much money. And that's why President Trump's trying to cut this budget and everything like that. We're down. In 2010, we had 47 million people on food stamps. Today, we have about 44 million. That's a huge drop.
And that's year to date?
That's year to date. That's okay. 2017, 44 million people on food stamps.
Wow.
And 2010, it was 47. So, you know, we dropped 3 million, you know, over the span of 7 years, which, you know, some people see as slow progress, but that progress is progress, you know. Here's the thing about, you know, the statistics of it is like when people say, oh, well, how can white people be on welfare? How much trailer park trash is it? A lot of the majority of the 40% are upper class, middle class white women with children who never worked and had their husband do the working. And then they got divorced and the husband left. And yeah, she's getting child support, but maybe, there's a standard of living that she is accustomed to. You know, there's a house that she has to afford, or there's a mortgage for that she's stuck with because the dad split. And food stamps is measured not often necessarily the amount you make, but what it is based off how you're living. if your rent is a certain amount and you make a certain amount and there's not enough to feed yourself and the children, you're less than $150 after all these bills and, you know, obligations, you qualify for food stamps. So there's a lot of people in the suburbs, and first of all, towns where Black people don't even reside, you know, Ohio, Iowa, Montana, you know, where there's like 8 Black people per capita, you know what I mean? Like, those towns are full of white people on food stamps. But even in my town, like Philadelphia, there's a bunch of white people on food stamps that live in the suburbs and live in nice, fancy houses because they just had that standard of living and then it changed. And they're on welfare because that's what welfare is for. When your situation changes, it's for, you know, we shame people on welfare. Like, we make it seem like, oh, you know, it's a bad thing. You know, it's for help. Single people, single people complain all the time. Single people that live alone, they're like, oh, you know, I can't afford the bills all by myself. You should apply for food stamps. They may even give you like $20, but it's $20. $20, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal. And you get to buy, you can only buy food with it. Now, we all know the stereotype, right? We all know somebody's frauding, somebody's getting millions of dollars in food stamps and then selling them and then buying other shit, or they're claiming kids that aren't theirs to get more and all this other stuff. And, you know, we're afraid that might take over the system if we, like, keep allowing it to be free. And this way, with the boxes, you know that they're getting only food, right? That's kind of like the safety that they're kind of, you know, going over. But to date, as of 2017, once again, welfare fraud has fallen 1.5%. 1.5% of all welfare cases is fraud. That's very low. That's low as hell for 44 million people. So we're talking about what? I don't know. I don't know the math on it. But we're talking about what? Maybe 100,000 people committing the fraud?
Yeah. Yeah. That seems about right.
Compared
out
to the
out of the 44 million, which, but I mean, so, okay. So Fame, just talking about, and I can tell you have all your paperwork, all your research there right in front of you. You're informing me. This is not something that I am as well versed on or have the knowledge base or done the research on, which is rare for me because I tend to research everything. But
yeah.
Okay. So you said there's a hundred thousand people who are committing food stamp fraud.
I'm being generous because I'm not really good at the math. So I'll just say 100,000 people out of 44 million.
That's a very small portion.
Right. And it sucks. But they're cracking down. Like, it used to be, and they said in 2015, it was at 3%, which is still very low, but, you know, they're cracking down. They're really trying to get it. I mean, there are tests, there are standards. You don't just get on food stamps and then you're on food stamps. You're just on food stamps. You have to check in every 6 months. They can check in on you. They demand to see your bank accounts, stuff like that. Like,
yes, they do.
Past statements to see how much money you put in. So you know, some people say, oh, my bank account's empty right now. They like to see how much you're putting in, if you're getting other incomes. They do a lot of check work. And a lot of people don't know that you can, like, once again, you can only buy food with them. Yes, there are some places where you can buy, where they'll, you know, some places in impoverished areas, they'll trade it for cigarettes or laundry detergent or whatever in the store. But they'll charge you double for it. It's not like a good, you know, you're still paying. You know, and at least it's, once again, it's going to the poor's needs. What do you, if you care if it's specifically food?
So how much, and you may have this in your research or not, but okay. So of course the everyone tends to see food stamps as it's basically the taxpayers paying for the needy. Yeah. What percentage? So is there a stipend or a percentage of food stamp, the budget, that does not come out of our taxpaying money? Is there any part that the government puts to the side and they also contribute to this food stamp fund, or is it strictly funded based off our taxes?
That's a great question. What the original plan was for it to be half government funded and half government funded and half taxpayer funded. I think that we've switched. I didn't find anything that said that we switched, but I only saw the plans on the original idea. So I don't even know if that went through all the way. So I can't say for sure, but it's a great question and I'm going to look up the answer to it for sure.
I appreciate that. So go ahead, continue.
Oh, yeah. So what I wanted to speak on is the other things about the boxes that, like, you know, it's not a well thought out plan. And I'm sure, like I said, it's just a proposal. I'm not going to be the one sitting here knocking. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're about to just change our whole lives and destroy it. Like, I'm not going to complain. And like I said, I understand why he, you know, why there's a need to find an answer for stuff like this. Because people do really believe that this welfare fraud, this taking advantage of the system, like, runs rampant. People really think that everybody, you know, everybody and their mom that's on these food stamps are claiming more or lasting longer or doing things like getting steak and lobster instead of real nutritional foods or whatever the case may be. And that may be true, that may be not, but these people do qualify for, you know, it's the idea of this. If you see a bum on the street and he says, hey, man, you got $5. And you say, all right, I'll give you $5, but you can't buy alcohol with it. Like, to me, like, a lot of people say, well, that's good intention. That makes sense. And then, you know, but in all honesty, you cannot do that. Don't give him money then. Buy him food or whatever it is you would prefer him to have. If you're going to give him money, he's in America. It's his choice to do whatever he does with that money. You understand the situation he is in. Now, he may have gotten there himself, or it may be an unlucky break for him, but you understand when you give him that money, you take the chance of him going to go buy a rock or him going to go buy a sandwich. But after you give him the five, it's your charity to him. It is not up to you to dictate what he does with it, in my opinion.
I can understand that.
Right. So, you know, and a lot of people, like I said, you know, it's such a good intention. Oh, if I don't buy drugs with it. Yes, I understand. You don't want this homeless person to be on drugs, but understand that he may be homeless because he was on drugs and he has not necessarily stopped. So he's asking you for $5 for more. So, you know, and the idea that somebody like that would be on the honor system, don't buy drugs with it. Okay.
You make a good point,
like,
there.
Right. So that's why, you know, they're like, okay, well, we're actually going to make sure they get actual food. Like, no, you're eliminating these people's choices of what they can eat. But, like, all right, personal choice. This is America. Okay, fine. You don't want to go by that. All right, you're poor. You have to eat what we tell you to eat. Whatever. What about allergies? What about food allergies? What about dietary restrictions? What about issues? What about people, you know, they don't want to eat meat? You know, what vegetarians, vegans? I guess personal choice, that's out as well. You know, how will these things be delivered? All right. Some of these people on food stamps are homeless or they move from place to place. They're couch surfing. You know, do you have to go pick them up? Because a good portion of people on welfare are employed. You know, a lot of people don't know that. About 30% are employed. They actually work, you know, and you work and they got kids. Wait, daycare. Wait.
30% of people on welfare actually work. That's a stat that just blew my mind. I wasn't aware of that either.
Absolutely, a lot of people think it's all, you know, joblessness and laziness, and 30% of people work. You got to understand, it's just a matter of being poor, is living beyond the means. You're not getting paid enough, and you know, if you have kids or, you know, an elderly parent, anything. As long as your bills are higher than the means of your life, you can qualify for welfare. You're technically poor. When your outcome is greater than your income, you're poor. It's just a matter of time.
Hey, I mean, well, when you boil it down like that, Fame, how can you argue with it? So what else do you have for us? What else do you have for the listeners, the viewers? We're actually live, so we have viewers now. This is weird to be able to say that, but we have viewers. What other information do you have for them, Fame?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about just other things about the how these things are to be delivered. I just think that, like, a lot of people say, oh, well, it's like Blue Apron. Yeah, Blue Apron is cool the first week you get it. It's not a system that you can use. Not everybody likes the same things. And, you know, it seems, you know, not to be suspicious, not to sound like the paranoid guy or the conspiracy theorist, but it seems like a very easy way to poison a nation, the poor people that, let's be honest, he does not like.
Well, I mean, let's get into that. I mean, I'm no Billy Ray Valentine. I can't get all the way into conspiracy theories. A good friend of ours, a mutual friend, but for all the conspiracy theorists and the ones that talk about how America, our country, does have every 3 or 4 years, or maybe it's even sooner than that, there seems to be something that it's either mass sickness, mass death. Some type of thing just in our normal day to day. I mean, what was it? It was just like 5 years ago where all of a sudden we couldn't eat tomatoes at all because they all randomly had salmonella. So concerns about stuff like that. Is this something? And like I said, let's get all the way into conspiracy theory. Is this a form of population control? Is this really what this is turning into? Is that a chance of that? Do you fear that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you always got smoke and mirrors as far as like, oh, what's over here? Food stamps. Ah, by the way, we signed the bill for slavery. Like, you know, it's always a good chance of stuff like that. But for the most part, there's a lot of drawbacks to this. This would, especially in the startup of all this, it would cost more than, you know, to make everybody switch. It's it's not going to help. You know, and I don't think necessarily, unless he gets 8 years, I don't think that there's enough time to push this matter through. And I don't think it's something that anybody needs to worry about. And when you talk about these mass panics, I mean, we always got to remember, like, what happened to anthrax, man? What happened to Ebola? What happened to, what was it, the pig virus? Was HPV, Men in Black, or something like this? I don't even remember. Swine flu.
Swine flu, yeah.
I mean, Zika. What happened to Zika? What happened to Ebola? You know, these things just kill somebody for 2 seconds, and then they never killed anybody ever again. It's very strange. I will admit, because they necessarily didn't say, "Hey, we found a cure for this shit." So who knows? But this, no. I mean, if they actually did it, if they actually gave us these weird ass, you know, Lunchables, these foods, these poor people Lunchables, basically, is what we would be getting. Yeah, I'd be scared to eat it. I mean, who knows what's in it? And like, it's gonna be like, you know, for what's supposed to be nutritional value, it's going to be full of preservatives, and, you know, that's not necessarily nutritious. And you're talking about canned fruit. That takes away all the nutrition of the fruit. Like, so what are we really talking about here? If you can't, that would cost way too much to deliver real fresh fruit. So let's stop talking about it. Give these people their EBT credit cards and have them do what they've been doing, because it's working.
Yeah, and so maybe, yes, up it has that been limit working a little bit. It has been working. So let's get back to the topic at hand. I know I got into the conspiracy theory. So these, and for anyone who's just joining us, we're talking about Trump's reform, kind of, well, proposal of reforming the way that food stamps work. So he proposed that we move to a box system.
Hungry man dinner.
So we move to a form of boxes that are going to be apparently some way distributed to these families. Is there any type of a list or something you can go for those who have dietary restrictions? Like, if you're allergic to gluten, is there going to be a version of these boxes that is going to be gluten free, or is it just going to be one box fits all?
Once again, we're talking about if we're going to customize boxes or what it is that you want. We're talking about something. Wait, you know how expensive it is to do that on Blue Apron? All right. Let alone, you know, the government. This is gonna, like I said, this would cost way more in theory. People who are allergic to certain things, peanuts, anybody allergic to soy, or anybody, you know, allergic to you know, what's more common to be allergic to, dairy. You know, these lactose intolerant people. Like, it's not a smart idea. Like, let these people buy what they want. Like, you can't give them a limited selection. And besides, like, let's not humiliate the poor. Like, oh, you're poor, you can only eat this. And that makes, like, the rich look more like, it's the lobster. You wouldn't know anything about this peasant. Because he can't. Because he can only eat this government drool. What is that? Like, government cheese. Is it cheese? Who knows?
It's not cheese. It's worse than Velveeta. Government cheese was worse than Velveeta. But it does. Velveeta,
terrible. How is that still in business?
Because you got lazy people. You, the thing is, let me say this. If I go to somebody's house and the only cheese, like, I can even understand if you use it a little bit in your mac and cheese to make it creamy. But if the only cheese you put in your cheese is Velveeta, in your mac and cheese is Velveeta, fuck you. I'm done. Like, it's I'm leaving. I'm gonna be so offended that I'm leaving, and it's fuck you. Don't ever invite me over your house again. Never. Unless it's just meat. Now, we can have a keto meal where it's just meat. But I'm sorry. I'm turning a serious topic. I just had some comedy in there.
I think you're absolutely right. Velveeta is nasty. That shit's nasty. For real. And once again, yeah, I can understand if you put a little bit in your mac and cheese to make it creamy, but like very little, only for the creamy effect, because it's gross. And it better not be in any of these food stamp boxes.
Well, Fame, before we get ready to go or plug anything else, is there anything left on this food stamp topic that you want to discuss or think that people should know?
No, man, I really put it all out there. It's a lot of history. There's a lot of sources that I can cite on this. I mean, you can definitely, Google is everybody's best friend. You know, and the things to Google would just be Trump's food stamp plan, the history of food stamps, who is on food stamps racially. That's what I Google. And then you'll figure, you know, you'll read everything that I said to you. It's fascinating that there's such a stigma for everyone thinking that it's all black people, these lazy black women mostly, which is really odd, lazy black women who have way too many children. And obviously, you know, every time they go outside, they run into a new penis. You know, it's this very strange stereotype that developed. And now the next thing for me would be, how did that come about? Who really wanted to shade black women that much? Black girl magic, man. Hashtag.
absolutely Black Girl Magic. We know some amazing black women. I want to shout out the amazing black podcast, women podcasters that I know. Let's shout out to the Extra Regular Podcast, both Kyla and Justice over there doing their thing. Shout out to Dualistic Cliche and Samantha. Shout out to all the girls over, all the women, I'm sorry, over at the I'm Just Saying Podcast. Those are just some amazing women. Oh, Erica as well. I don't want to forget her because she supports everything I do. So we want to just give a shout out to all of our black women or black women podcasters. Shout out here. Black Girl Magic. I'm a supporter of that. So Fame, you got your InBeta podcast. Tell the people, the viewers now of the Awakened Soul Live, tell them a little bit about the InBeta podcast and where they can find it.
Well, the InBeta podcast was originally an idea between myself and Mr. AT2_4Real on Snapchat and Instagram. However, he hasn't been on the show all season. So it's a podcast that I am basically taping my private conversations and playing them for you to hear and then doing an intro for them. I really don't hold back. I talk about a lot of things, and I can say on at least 4 or 5 episodes, I'm totally the bad guy. You will disagree with me. You'd be like, how can he think these things? But I do think these things, and I think I make a lot of sense, and I challenge anyone to come onto the show and debate with me. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Every fourth episode is a freak episode. I've had very special guests, such as CEO Hayes of The Awakened Soul. I've had Nick from Erotic Boudoir. She has a whole freak shop that she wants to tell you about. I've had Sunny Megatron, the host of the American Sex Podcast, what is the #2 sex podcast on iTunes. She has a show on Showtime. She's awesome. Definitely download her podcast. I have many special guests. InBeta, InBeta on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can find it. You guys are smart.
All right. That was basically all of the first episode of the Awakened Soul Live. So check out the second go around for that, the Black Panther review. We are getting ready to get into what we're doing all this month, and that is horror dating stories, or cautionary tales, I believe is what we settled on calling them. Cautionary dating tales from the mind of Jackson from the Sex with Strangers podcast. We're going to get into another brief musical break. You already know on the other side of that, it's going to be me and Jackson.
Pillars of joy. Troubled and puzzled and scorned by your love, till I know whether to stop or live my life in vain. Knowing the thought of you will drive me insane.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I promised you guys we'd be back for part two. We got Jackson back in the building from Sex with Strangers to tell another dating horror story. Jackson, well, let's not say horror story, because we just in case if your ex end up listening, we don't want to make it seem like that. A cautionary tale, I guess, is what we should call it, man.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jackson?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm doing all right. I'm just getting home from the gym and all that not too long ago, and my body is killing me because I took 2 weeks off, but I'm a BB dub ass nigga, so it feel like I took a year off. My body got to get back right, so I'm just chilling, man. I'm doing all right though.
You for you to take off time from the gym, man, it had to be real, because I know that's just not something that Jackson does.
Well, it wasn't voluntary though. That's the thing, man. I showed up one day and they just had a sign on the wall that said, "We closed, nigga." Like forever. Like them niggas is just like put up a sign, like they ain't get no notice or nothing like that. I showed up to the gym one day and they put up a sign and the shit was just closed or whatever. So like it just kind of fucked up my routine. And I think that happened on like a Thursday. So I was like, all right, well, I ain't gonna work out Thursday and I ain't gonna work out Friday. And I usually don't work out on the weekends anyway. And then the next week, I think I had I don't know what the fuck happened the next week, but I didn't work out for like a whole week. And then I just went back like a couple of days ago. So I'm feeling it, man. Cause especially with running, you know what I'm saying? Cause I gotta run like every day in order for that shit to stay, like for me to stay on top of my shit. But anyway,
I feel you. But yeah, man. So we came to hear a dating story, man. So I gotta hear it, and I'm just gonna let you run with it because I know it's gonna be hilarious, man. Which story are you telling today?
Well, today is we usually just call it the Fab and Jada story. And I do mean Fab the rapper and Jada the rapper. And basically, this was last year, last March. And I was just scrolling, and I had a girlfriend or whatever at the time. And I don't know what I was doing, but I was just like, you know, scrolling the internet, usually just probably just like looking for like, you know, shit to do on the weekends, because we didn't live in the same city. So we would only see each other on the weekend. So, you know, I would always just kind of like just browse, you know, what was going on in Philly or whatever, or like what was going on, like, you know, in the tri-state area, so I could get good ideas for us to do stuff on the weekends and whatnot. And this one time I was just browsing the internet, and I saw that Fab and Jada, they was having their Freddie and Jason like concert tour, like even before, you know, like the actual album came out, they was touring together or whatever, and they was coming to Philly. And I was like, oh shit. And I knew she was a Fab fan. She wasn't really a Jada fan, because she's not like a hip hop head like that. But you know, like bitches like Fab and shit, because he kind of like, even though he still like as a real like rapper, he still like appeals to women and shit with a lot of his songs and, you know, just his style and all that. So I knew she was a fan of Loso. So, and I'm a fan of both of them for the longest. And I was like, yo, I gotta fucking go to this shit. And you know, she was my girl, so I was like, this is something that you know, I could get tickets for, and I could have fun. And even though she might not have as much fun as me, she's still my girl. So it's like one of those things, you know, when you're in a relationship, you kind of try to like enjoy what the other person enjoys, and try to make, you know, try to have like bonding moments out of those like experiences and everything. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, that's what this could be. So the tickets, I think the tickets was like, I don't know, they might have been like $60 or $70 or something like that. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm about to get that. $150, that ain't shit to go see Fab and Jada for a couple of hours. So it was at the spot in Philly called the Fillmore or whatever. And I bought the ticket as soon as I seen them. Like, I bought them, I copped them drinks. I ain't even tell her. I think I sent her a screenshot, like, yo, these niggas is coming to Philly. And then like before she could reply back, like, oh word, like I sent her another screenshot, like like a confirmation on your purchase and shit like that. Like, yo, we going or whatever. And she was just, so I kinda like just kinda bullied her into going or what have you. So I copped the tickets, and you know, she obviously, you know, she agrees to go with me because I asked her to go. And I'm like, all right, cool. So now the concert is on a Friday. So I end up taking off work on this Friday because, you know, I knew I just wanted to have a whole day to just kind of like get my shit together and all that, and like get a haircut and just get ready, you know what I'm saying, for the concert and shit, because the shit started at like 8 o'clock. So she didn't take off work, but she did take a half day. Now, even though she doesn't live in Philly. She works in Philly or whatever. So she is still like in Philadelphia. So that day I get up early. I go to the barbershop in the morning, probably about like 9 o'clock or something like that. And I'm in the barbershop for maybe like 90 minutes or 2 hours. So I'm done by the time it's like 11. So I say like, all right, well, you know what? She's still at work. Let me go bring her lunch or something like that, since I'm not doing shit. So I go down to Center City, and I go to this like this little Mexican restaurant that she had put me on. And you know, she put me on it, so I know she obviously, you know, likes their food. So I went and grabbed her some lunch real quick. But while I was headed down there, the Mexican place hadn't opened up yet. So while I had to like maybe kill like 30 or 40 minutes. So it's this like Christian bookstore that's like maybe a couple of storefronts down, you know, from the Mexican spot. So I just go in there, kill some time, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just looking around, and I see that book, The Five Love Languages. And now at the time, I don't know if your listeners also listen to I'm about to do a shameless plug. Listen to the the Sex with Strangers podcast, but I told a story about just a month earlier how me and her had kind of had like some friction based on like how Valentine's Day went and stuff like that. So this is just a month after Valentine's Day last year. All right. So just a little quick sidebar. I got her like mad shit for Valentine's Day. Like spent maybe like $400 or $500. We went to a show. We went to dinner. I got her like a whole bunch of like gifts and a gift bag and all that. And like she cooked me dinner on Valentine's Day, and we didn't have sex, and I didn't get no head. So I was a little upset about that. But she did buy me some tickets to a comedy show. But the comedy show wasn't going to take place until the Saturday after the Fab and Jada concert. So it was going to be like a full weekend that we was going kind of, I was going to finally get to kind of have my Valentine's Day gift from her, even though it was a month later. But we had been going through some shit for like this whole 4 month period, because I was low key, like I was kind of tight that I didn't really get nothing on Valentine's Day. And not only did I not really get anything like material, like I ain't get no like sloppy head. I didn't get the like bust on her face or like none of that kind of shit that I like. So, and you know, like, and we would go, and I'm getting a little off topic, but I'm gonna get right back on. But within this 4 week period between Valentine's Day and the concert, you know, she also had mentioned to me that it was like this new Man's Day thing that was out. That was like on March the 14th. That's supposed to be like steak and blowjob day. And she was like, well, you know, niggas don't supposed to get nothing on Valentine's Day, because y'all niggas got your own day now, and it's called steak and blowjob day, and it's on March 14th. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I can't wait till March 14th, because I ain't had no steak and I ain't had my dick sucked in a minute. So I'm gonna be up there for that shit. And when that day came and went, and I didn't have no steak and I ain't get no head. So I was still fucking pissed. So then, now that was March 14th, and like I said, the concert was March the 17th, because that was the following weekend. I'll say all of that to say that we was already kind of like rocky or whatever. So this was supposed to be like a weekend where we was like really going like try to get back on track, and you know, just try to have fun and try to have a good time and just enjoy each other's company and all that. So, all right, so I go into the bookstore and I see the Five Love Languages book. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? We're going through some shit right now. You know what I'm saying? She didn't actually send me the email of like the love language questions, so she could like try to figure out, you know, what my love language was, and so I could figure out what her love language was, so we could try to figure out maybe how to love each other in the way that we needed to be loved, as opposed to, you know, maybe what we were doing up until that point. Or whatever. So I was like, yo, I see the book. I'm going to just grab the book and I'm going to grab her lunch and I'm going to just kind of be like, you know, give it to her. Just kind of on some, you know, I figured that we could read this together. I figured it could, you know, might help us out. And, you know, maybe we could both learn something from it. So I cop the book, you know what I'm saying? I walk out of the store with that. And then I go to the Mexican spot and get her, you know, get her like, I don't know, like some quesadilla or some shit, whatever it is, and bag that up. And then I walk right around to her job, you know, and I go into the bottom or to the lobby or whatever. And, you know, just drop it off to her, give her a hug and all that, and basically just tell her that I'll see her later. So then I go back home and I'm about to get ready. Now, at this time, it's probably about like 1 o'clock or something like that. And so I get home, I'm cleaning up, I'm getting my shit together or whatever for the night. And she hits me up at about maybe like 3 or 4 o'clock. And she's still in traffic. She's not at home yet. She's still in traffic. And she's telling me that she's trying to go to the mall because she don't got nothing to wear. And I could just hear like the annoyance and like the irritated tone like in her voice or whatever. So I'm like, oh shit, like here we go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like here we go again. Like something is about to fucking go wrong. Like, please just don't fucking ruin this night for me right now. Cause I really fuck with Fab and Jada. Like I really want to enjoy this shit. And, you know, I'm talking to her on the phone, and she's just kind of complaining about the traffic. She's complaining about how crowded the mall is. I'm on the phone with her until she gets into the mall. And while she's in the mall, she's like, she can't find nothing that she really wants to wear. And I'm like, yo, it's just a fucking hip hop concert. Like, it ain't like you got to be all like super flashy and elegant or nothing like this. Like, just get some shit, like, be comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like, look fly. Just be comfortable. Like, you know what I'm saying? And she's just not really trying to hear shit that I got to say. So she don't leave the mall. Like, I'm on the phone with her this whole time. So she don't leave the mall probably until like 5 o'clock. And she bought some shit, but she really honestly don't like what she bought. So she's going to be irritated just for the rest of the night off the strength of she wearing some shit that she really don't even love for real. So she's telling me this, and like, she's in a traffic jam, and she's just like, I'm going to be late. Because our original plan was for her to drive to my house, park her car in front of my house, and then we were just going to Uber to the concert. That way we didn't have to like look for parking or pay for parking, and we'd just get dropped off like right at the front door or whatever. But now she's telling me, because she feels like she's running late, now she's like, well, I don't think I should meet you at your house. I think we should just meet at the concert. And I'm like, yo, like, we don't have to fucking meet at the concert. Like, I know it starts at 8 o'clock, but Fab and Jada not gonna go on at no fucking 8 o'clock. Like, it's gonna be under, you know, undercard or like opening acts or whatever. So you don't have to rush. Like, we good, we straight. And she's just like, no, I just meet me there. And I'm like, listen, man. Cause I can hear this shit in your voice. Like, if you don't wanna go, like, if you feel like you're gonna be irritated or if you're gonna be tired, cause she was telling me how she was like super tired and super stressed out and super sleepy, just all of this stuff. And I was just like, to the point where I was like, yo, if you don't wanna go, man, you could just sit this one out. I promise I'm not gonna be mad. I'm not gonna be upset. I'm not gonna hold no grudge. I'm not gonna do none of that. I go to the concert with my homie or by myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to go and just enjoy myself and have a good time. And, you know, I don't want you, I want you to go, but I want you to go and I want you to enjoy yourself. I don't want you to go and have a horrible time, because that's going to fuck my time up or whatever. So, I told her this, but she was like, no, you know, I told you that I was going to go and this was the plan and blah, blah, blah. You know, so I'm going to go. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to let you go. You know what I'm saying? You get ready. You do your normal 1-2 or whatever. And then, you know, since you want to meet there, I'll just meet you there. And she was like, all right. So we got off the phone. I finished getting ready or whatever. And so now I'm in the Uber, and she's on her way as well. And she gets there a little bit before me. And she's like calling me on the phone looking for a parking spot. She can't find nowhere to park. Then she finds a parking lot to park in, but she says she don't have no cash. So it's just like, I can hear the annoyance again, like creeping up her voice. And I'm all worried and shit. I'm like, all right, I'm trying to calm her down. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, this shit is not looking good. Like, I know how this story is going to end or whatever. But I'm still trying to, you know, like, stay real positive and stay upbeat and stuff like that. So she finally finds a spot to park. So she's walking to the front, and I'm getting out the Uber, and I finally see her, and, you know, I'm all hype, I'm happy to see her and shit like that, and when I see her, like, I try to give her a hug, and I go in with like both arms open, and she kind of like give me like the one arm side like church hug and shit, like on some real cold shoulder type shit, and I'm like, here we fucking go. But I'm still trying to, you know, I'm still not trying to let that negativity like seep into my aura or to my energy. Like, you know what I'm saying? So my mentality now was like, all right, I got to stay positive, because that's the only chance that I have of maybe her coming out of her funk. Like, if we can't both be on some negative shit, because then it's definitely not going to go well. Like, maybe I could just try to cheer her up and loosen her up as the night goes on. So we go inside. And it's really nice in there, or what have you. So we go inside, and I go straight to the bar, and I'm like, yo, what you want to drink? And, you know, she's just like, whatever. So I get us a couple of drinks, and we find a table and we sit down, and like I'm trying to like have a, you know, trying to have a conversation with her and just ask her like, you know, how her day was and how she feeling, and just kind of like saying, you know, just trying to create some conversation and talk about whatever, like people watching or just trying to crack jokes and like again, like just trying to like stay real upbeat and real positive. And like her energy is just super, super just like just dark and like negative on the other side of the table. So she's like really not real responsive. She's not really just like talking. I'm asking her, you know, if she wants something to eat, is she hungry? She's just like, no. And she's like giving me like a lot of like one word answers and just like being real, real short with me and shit like that. I'm really trying hard like not to let that shit get to me, because it's only like at this point in time, it's only like 8:30 or like 9 o'clock. You know what I mean? And it's like I said, like Fab or Nor Jada was on stage. It was the nigga AR Ab on stage, just like a local Philly, a Philly rapper or whatever, which I knew. That's why I knew we ain't had to rush, but whatever. So we finished like one drink, and the conversation is just getting less and less and less. And at one point in time, my nigga, like, we literally just sitting there for like 90 minutes and just like not saying a word to each other. And I'm just like, so like, I'm not at this point, I'm not upset, I'm not pissed, but I'm just like super like demoralized. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like she just really took the wind out of me, because it's like, yo, like I told you, if you was going to be like this, just to fucking stay home. You know what I mean? But she decided to come out anyway. And it ain't seem like she was really making a real effort to like to have a good time. It seemed like she just kind of like wanted to be upset. So, and at one point, she asked me, what time is Fab and Jada gonna come on stage? And I'm looking at her like, I didn't plan the concert. I don't know. I don't know what time them niggas is gonna go on stage. I would assume that they're gonna go on stage at about 11, like maybe 11:30, and it, you know, at this point it was maybe like 9:45 or 10 o'clock or something like that. And her response to me was, well, if they don't go on stage before midnight, I'm going home. And I'm like, what the fuck? But so I'm just like, oh, okay, like, all right, like I didn't really know how to respond or how to answer that shit. So I'm like, all right. So then I'm like, yo, let's just go upstairs. Oh, whatever. So we go upstairs, and now the Fillmore, the theater is standing room only, which I told her, like it's the only seats in there is if it's like super VIP seats or seating or whatever. But like on the floor and even on the balcony, it's all standing room only. And it said that like when I bought the tickets, and I definitely told her that shit, so she knew it was standing room only. So we get upstairs. And, you know, the DJ is like still playing music. Like, these niggas ain't on stage yet, but it's getting closer and closer to the time that they about to come on stage. And people started kind of filling in or whatever. Now, like, I'm like six feet, maybe like 6'1". She's like 5'5", or 5'6", or something like that. So when people start coming in, like at first, like she's standing in front of me at first. And then when people start kind of like rushing in because they know that they about to now come on stage, people kind of started like almost halfway bum rushing. So like people were kind of bumping into me, bumping into her or whatever. So I position myself to where she's between me and like the railing. So nobody is going. So and my arm is like around her, but behind her, holding on to the railing. So the only people will only bump into either my arm, or people will only bump into me, but they wouldn't bump into her or whatever. So, but by people kind of bum rushing, like people are just inadvertently bumping into me, which makes me inadvertently bump into her a little bit. And I remember one time somebody kind of like, you know, bumped into me, and I kind of like, you know, got pushed forward just a little bit, and I kind of like bumped into her shoulder. And she like looked back at me and was like, why are you touching me? And I'm like, bitch, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to fucking protect you from being bumped from being fucking trampled. Like, you know what I'm saying? So she looked back at me like, why are you touching me, or stop touching me, or some shit like that. I'm like, all right, my bad, or whatever. And then like these niggas finally do come on stage, and now like it's mad people in front of us, and she can't see. Like I can see because I'm a little bit taller, but she can't see nothing but the back of niggas' shoulders and shit like that. And so I look back at her and I'm like, yo. I don't know if she thought I was joking or not, but I was like, yo, I know you can't see. Like, do you want to like sit on my shoulders and shit? So you can see. And she was like, why the fuck would I want to sit on your shoulders? And I'm like, my bad. I'm like, okay, well, fucking keep looking at the back of these niggas' spinal cords then. And she was just like, I don't know, man. This shit just fucking like really just pissed me off because she was like really being like a fucking bitch about it, and for no reason. Like I don't know why she was being like so angry about the shit. So at that point, like now I was pissed off or whatever, and I just went to stand because she wasn't having a good time, and now so because she wasn't having a good time, like now like I'm not having a good time or whatever. So instead of standing right there, you know, with my arm around her and accidentally, I didn't want to accidentally bump into her no more because I didn't want her to fucking give me that fucking ice queen look again. So now I just go kind of like stand off in a corner, or not in a corner, but like near the, it's like kind of like in a corridor, like the hallway. And I'm just like leaning on the wall, like not even looking. I can't even see the stage. I can hear them performing the songs, but I can't see shit. Or whatever. And so now we like 10 feet away from one another, and I'm just standing there just like looking super fucking pissed off, because I am super pissed off at this point. And then she apparently, this one of the security guards like went up to her and was like asking like what's wrong with him or some shit like that. And so she gonna come over to me and ask me what's wrong with you, and I'm like, bitch, what's wrong with me? You're ruining my fucking night is what's wrong with me. Like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, man, I'm cool. I'm chilling. And she was like, you got people coming up to me asking me what's wrong with you. And then I'm like, man, fuck that nigga. He's probably just trying to see if I'm your dude so he can shoot his fucking shot. Like, what are you talking about? So then she get another attitude, and she just leaves. She just like goes out into the hallway where like the concession stands and shit is. And at first I don't follow her because I'm thinking like maybe she's gonna come back, but she just never comes back. So now I'm like, where the fuck is she at? So now I go out, I look out there, she's not out there. So I go back downstairs, and now I see she's downstairs like just standing somewhere. So I'm like 20 feet behind her again or whatever, 20 feet behind her. Like, I'm mad, I'm pissed, but at the same time, like, she still is my girl, so I'm not going to, like, let her out of my plane of my, you know, my vision. I'm not going to let her out of my sight or whatever. And so I'm just, like, standing behind her 20, 30 feet for the next, like, 2 hours while these niggas perform. And I can't see the stage, and she's just standing wherever she is. And I'm just fucking in the back, just in the cut, just pissed off. And then like maybe 45 minutes or something like that goes by, and I'm just standing there, and she comes over to me and she's like, can you take my picture? And I'm just like, I'm just like, all right, man, give me the phone. And I take a couple of pictures of her or whatever for her. And then like, I don't know, like she still got an attitude. And then she's like, well, if you're gonna have an attitude, then let's just go. And I'm just like, all right, well, fucking let's go then. And we fucking leave, and I'm not saying shit because I'm like really steaming right now, like I'm livid or whatever. But I'm not saying nothing. And this is like the first time she's ever really seen me like mad or whatever. So my plan at this point is to walk her to her fucking car, and then I'm going to fuck home and like to jack off or something like that, because this is some bullshit. So we get outside. And I'm not saying nothing. And I'm just like, you know, I'm walking, where your car at? And she's like, you know, it's over here. I was like, all right.
And we just walking, like, and I'm in silence. And she's like, are you mad at me? And I'm like, yeah. And she was like, I'm sorry. I was like, I'm like, you good? It's cool. And she was like, well, how long are you going to be mad at me? I was like, I was like, probably for the rest of the night or something like that. And it was just, I don't know, man. She was just pissing me off. So we walked in silence to the car. And I opened the fucking door. I opened the door for her. And I really wanted to just open the door for her and just fucking take the fuck off and just like leave. But after she got in, she asked me, could I get into the car with her? And I'm like, all right. So I get in the car and, you know, she like apologizing to me and shit. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to whatever. I didn't mean to ruin the concert for you. I was like, man, it's cool. Like, it's over with now. Like, it ain't nothing you could really do about that shit. And I was like, you know, whatever. And she talked me into going back to her crib. So I was like, all right. And so we stopped at like McDonald's on the way back. And then we got back to the house and she fucking went right to sleep. I fucking ate McDonald's like in the kitchen, like standing up in pitch black in the dark. And just fucking, I don't even know. So I didn't fuck. No makeup sex, no head, no busting on faces, none of that. The next day, we fucking wake up and go to a movie and go to breakfast. And it's cool. I'm not even mad no more. Like, and I told her, I was like, I'm gonna be mad for the rest of the night. But then after I get up tomorrow, like, it's gonna be whatever. Like, no big deal. And that's true, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't hold grudges or nothing like that. Like, life's too short for that stupid shit. So next day, we get up, go see a movie, go to breakfast, everything cool. Now, the tickets that she bought me on Valentine's Day was for the comedy show on this day that we just woke up on. So, but she was still talking about how she was so tired or whatever throughout the whole day. Like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so sleepy, you know what I'm saying, blah blah blah. And it was like one of those rainy, like gloomy ass days or whatever. So we was like really contemplating, like, yo, should we go all the way back to Philly for this comedy show, or do you just want to like chill? Because, you know, you said that you was tired yesterday, you're saying that you tired today, like maybe we should just like relax or whatever. So she was like, ah, well, you know, I don't know, whatever. Let's just go back to the crib and take a nap and we'll play it by ear. So I'm like, all right, cool. So we go back and she goes in the room, she takes a nap, and it's March. So March Madness is on. So I'm watching basketball, and she got some clothes that she done did laundry and shit for her. So I'm out here like a pussy ass, sucker ass nigga, like folding clothes and shit for her, trying to help out and shit like that. And I end up falling asleep on the fucking sofa or whatever. So I end up not waking her up like how she asked me to wake her up so that we could get ready and go to the comedy show. But I fell asleep too because, shit, I was fucking tired my damn self. So I wake up maybe like I'm up for like 5 minutes, and she comes out of the room with a fucking attitude again. Talking about why you ain't wake me up. I told you to wake me up. Oh, I know why you ain't wake me up. You ain't wake me up because I ruined your concert, and now you wanted to ruin the comedy show, but you wanted me to waste my money and you wanted to sabotage the comedy. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I fell asleep too, nigga. I just got up fucking 90 seconds ago and you just happened to fucking walk out. I haven't been awake this whole time. Like, why would I fucking not wake you up on purpose so you can have another attitude? And shit just didn't make sense. So, and I was like, it was like 6 o'clock. The comedy show ain't started till 8. She was talking about we gonna be late. Like, nigga, if you just fucking shower and put your clothes on right now, well, we might miss the opening act, but we still gonna see the main guy. But she was too busy having a shitty attitude about it that she just shut down and just wanted to say fuck everything. Or whatever. So I was like, all right, whatever. So she went back and she fucking laid down. And I was just like, all right, whatever. So I went to go fucking grab some food because I knew she was going to be fucking hungry later. Grabbed the food, came back to the crib. Her ass woke up at like midnight, like, I'm hungry. And I was like, it's food in there. She ate the food, went back to sleep. Again, no fucking, no head, no busting on faces, nothing. So I went to sleep in the living room that night. So nothing. So then the fucking next day, nigga, which is now Sunday,
So Friday was ruined. Saturday was ruined. Now I'm waking up on Sunday and my phone is dead. So I need a fucking charger, right? So, and I'm now she wakes up and she says she's feeling a little sick because probably because of that walk to the car on Friday night after the concert, because she ain't really have, she ain't have on no jacket or whatever. So she's, her throat feeling kind of scratchy. So I wake up, I'm like, all right, well, you know, you say you feel, your throat feeling a little scratchy or whatever, I'll make you some tea. And, you know, laying in bed, I'll make you some tea. And matter of fact, here's a good idea. I'll read you the book or whatever. I'll read you like some of the book or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We can read it together. Well, not read it together. I'll just read it to you. And we can, you know, just, I don't know, talk about it, have a conversation about it, have some feedback about it, something like that. Because in my mind, the weekend has gone shitty. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to like salvage the weekend some way, somehow, and maybe like end it on a good note before I, you know, before I have to leave and come back home. I don't want to leave on a shitty note. So I make her some tea. I'm like, here you go. She's like, nah, I don't want no tea. I was like, but didn't you say your throat feeling kind of scratchy or you're not feeling good? She was like, yeah, but I don't want no tea. I'm hungry. I was like, all right, well, you know, well, what you want or whatever, like what you want to eat? And she's like, nothing. I don't got nothing in there. I don't know what I want to eat. I was like, well, all right, well, you know, I'll go to the store and grab some or whatever. Like, what you want? Some eggs, some bacon, some French toast, some steak, whatever. She was just like, no, 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 no. I was like, okay, well, saying you're hungry, but you're saying that you don't got nothing in there. But then you also saying everything that that's at the grocery store, you know, you saying no to. So like, I don't really know what to do right now. You're not really helping me out or whatever. So that's a fucking wash. So then I fucking I read her like a chapter in the joint, right? And it's about words of affirmation. And once when I'm finished reading it to her, when I'm finished reading it to her, I'm like, you know, so how did you feel about that? And her response was, well, we not married, so that shit really don't apply to us. Oh my God. Yo, you, I was like, okay, well, that didn't work. So I go back out in the fucking living room, man. I just, because she seems like she just really wants to be left alone at this point. So I'm just like, all right, well, let me just give you some space. I'm going to let you just lay here and be sick and be hungry. And I'm going to go back out in the room and I just start watching Narcos on Netflix or whatever. And then like maybe 15 minutes or so go by and here she come busting out her bedroom door. Full like with clothes on, and she just leaves out the apartment. I'm like, oh, okay. So she comes back maybe like 20 minutes later with grocery bags, right? And she starts making breakfast. She starts making the food that I just offered to go get her and make her. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I'm like, you know what, man, this is some bullshit. She's pissing me off. Like, I'm about to leave. Oh, and then when she came back, she was like, here, I bought you a phone charger so you can charge your phone so you know what time your train come. Translation, so you can get the fuck out of here or whatever. Right? So I'm like, I'm pissed, yo. So I put my clothes on. I'm like, man, I'm about to go. She was like, what you mean you about to go? I was like, I'm about to go. I was like, you don't need, what do you need me for? You don't need me here. Like, you're sick. I tried to make you some tea. You ain't want it. You said you was hungry. I tried to make you some breakfast. You said you ain't want it. I said, what you want? You said, I don't know, but whatever I want, it's not here. I said, well, what you want? I'll go get it. And she was like, nah, don't go get nothing. I was like, you want steak? She was like, nah. Pancakes? Nah. Eggs? Nah. Bacon? Nah. And this bitch go out and buy all of that shit that she just told me no to and makes it her fucking self. I was like, yo, you don't need me, dog. You don't need me. Why am I here? I'm just taking up space right now. So I'm about to bounce or whatever. So when I say that, now she wants to get all like mad. And then we start getting into a back and forth and an argument and this and that and like yelling. And she ends up throwing the book at me and calling my book stupid and all this. Like, the idea is dumb. And we just start kind of like having like a crazy back and forth. And just, you know, a lot of different things were said and all this, man. And it was just like the first time I really have been in a situation where I was like really like yelling at somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like that's not what I do. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, wow, like I can't believe it really is coming to this. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I didn't really know what to do. And I don't even remember what happened from that point forward. I think we might have laid down and kind of chilled out for like an hour, and then I ended up leaving. But after I ended up leaving, like that was like the last time I spoke to her for like a month. Like I didn't reach out to her after that, and she didn't reach out to me after that for like 4 or 5 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And this wasn't even like a girl that I was just like talking to or just like fucking or just like friend. Like we was like together. Like together. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just, I don't know, man. That shit was just weird. And it was just, it turned from a bad date to a bad 2 dates to a just a whole bad weekend to a whole fucking breakup, like off of just one fucking concert that she didn't want to go to. And well, that's that.
Damn. Jax, I feel like you need a hug right now. Like, I don't even know what to say to that, man. That's deep. That's deep in the. I've heard that story before, but I know, man. That's just crazy, man. That's crazy. I don't know what else to say, man. I'm sorry. I wish I had more words to say to that, but that shit is wild, bro.
The thing is, man. I don't know how to handle,
bro.
Hello?
Yeah, you faded all the way out there for a second.
Oh, my bad. Nah, I was just saying, like, I really honestly don't know how to handle women with attitudes, man, and I'd rather not. And I know y'all give me shit about that shit all the time, but I'm just like, that shit, you're not going to drive me crazy, man. You're not going to drive me crazy every weekend, man. I'm not built for that, and I'm not trying to condition myself to be built for that, because that shit is not fun, and I'm not trying to do that shit at all, man. And I would just rather jack off, man, every weekend instead of having to deal with that kind of shit, because like that shit is ridiculous. Dealing with that shit and not getting no fucking head, nah. Oh man.
So I know me and you talk. So I know because me and you are friends. But for the listeners of the Awakened Soul, the ones that don't also listen to Sex with Strangers, you mentioned a lot: no head, no busting on faces, no sex. What's the hierarchy for you as far as that type of stuff?
What you mean, like just sexual stuff, or just like in regards to? I mean, it would. When the sex is banging and super nasty and all that, it definitely gives people a longer leash to deal with attitudes and to deal with bullshit and to deal with stress. You know what I'm saying? Because at least at the end of the stress, you get at the end of your stress being built up to an all-time high, at least you know that that person is going to be able to release that stress. You know what I'm saying? But it's different when it's like the person is like built in the stress, and then they're not even going to do, you're not even going to do no nasty shit to release the shit. So now I got to go home and rely on fucking Pornhub and X videos to make me not mad no more. Like, what's the point in that, man? Like, and I mean, sex is, with me though, sex is weird because it's not something. Shit is not important until you're not getting it. If you know what I'm saying, like if you, y'all always talk about how like, oh, this nigga Jackson, all he do is he talk about head and he talk about fucking and he talk about, but a nigga who getting shit ain't talking about it because they getting it. It's not an issue. Shit is only an issue when you feel like you're not getting it how you supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like I done been with girls who didn't give a lot of head or who didn't like having sex. And yeah, like that's what you're gonna talk about. I'm like, damn, like I wish I had some hair right now. Wish bust on her face right now. Wish I could get some back shots right now. But then I've also been with chicks where them bitches is sucking dick as soon as I walk in the door. You know what I'm saying? So now that's not an issue. So I don't have nothing to complain about. So you're not going to ever hear me talk about it unless you hear me praising, you know what I'm saying, how official she is with her mouth or whatever. So, like, I can't even say what the hierarchy is. I mean, I would definitely put sloppy head at the top of the list, though. I'm not going to lie to you, because I would rather get head than have sex if I had to choose. I don't know, man. And it sucks because I done been single for almost a year, but I still be thinking about, like, why shit went the way that it went, or, like, why did she not seem to do the stuff that she knew that I wanted her to do? But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, she would say that she loved me and that she was in love with me and, you know, and wanted a serious relationship and stuff like that. And I don't know. I just, till this day, like, I really, it doesn't register to me. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't like, I could see if it was like a situation shit where I was like telling her what she wanted to hear, but at the same time I was like fucking other bitches or like putting her through shit where like she was always like, where she would have to like go through my phone and like see other naked bitches in it, or see me texting other girls, or like catch me out, or like her friend to catch me out talking to other chicks or something. It wasn't none of that, man. It wasn't none of that, bro. Like, I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I was committed. I was faithful. I tried to communicate well. I tried to, you know what I'm saying, like, really be considerate. And I wasn't seeing, and she knew that I was like, it was like, I am your boyfriend. Like, I am your dude.
I can imagine that had to be tough, like, to know that you was doing right, everything right in your mind, and she just didn't. Man, like, me and you have talked about that, about the woman before, so it's difficult for me to kind of be objective, because I've heard some terrible stories. I always told you, you were dealing with a demonic spirit. That wasn't a person.
I can't say all that, man. No, she's not a demonic spirit, man. I'm not gonna say I did everything right either. Like, that's definitely not the case. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that and maybe this isn't right of me either, but we hear the stories. We hear stories from other women about the niggas that they dealing with. So you can't help but to compare. Like, I can't help but to compare my downfalls or my shortcomings versus other niggas' shortcomings or downfalls, or and like, when you look at it like that, it's like, yo, I feel like I was the way lesser of two evils, or of all of the evils that could be out here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. One of the hardest things that women have to do is to get a nigga to actually claim them or commit to them. Like, that's one of the hardest things you to get a nigga to do, is to really be like, nah, bro, I'm in a relationship and I'm only talking to her. And I'm not afraid to tell people that I'm in a relationship with this one girl and I'm not fucking no other bitches. It's like, chicks can't even get niggas to do that. You know what I'm saying? Let alone go on dates and buy shit and have conversations and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I honestly just came to the conclusion. I honestly just feel like she was I was the you know how women talk to, they have like a certain type. But for whatever reason, the type of guy that they're naturally attracted to is also probably the kind of guy who has been shitting on them for their entire life. So at some point, you know, people start to think, well, if I want something different, if I want different results, I'm going to have to start doing some different things. And I kind of feel like I might have come into her life at a point where she was like, oh, he's not really what I would typically go for, but maybe what I typically go for is the type of nigga who always does me wrong. So let me step outside of my comfort zone
and see what this is like if I talk to him. And she found out, you know, I feel like she felt like I was a good person, a decent person, but it was still maybe something lacking there, like maybe from a physical standpoint or maybe from a I don't know. Like, I don't know if I mean, only women really would know, like, you know, what their type is or what does it for them, whether it's physically or whether it's like how a guy may dress or, you know, a guy's like lifestyle or the money he made. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like I was different from what she normally talked to. And because of that, there were a lot of things that she liked about me, but then there were a lot of things that maybe she couldn't really just fully open herself up to me about. And I don't know what was causing that block, but I feel like it was something. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
It's another one of my horror story dates, though. That was one of the worst ones, because honestly, so that was one of the ones that kind of caused us to, that was like one of the last straws to like kind of break the camel's back, so to speak. Because that shit was like to the point of where I was really, man, I don't think I want to do this.
Well, I mean, everything happens for a reason. You're obviously in a better place now. So, I mean, shit happens, but we got to keep moving. So, yeah, I mean, I feel you on that one, Jackson. Last time you were on, we ended with a little advice from Jackson as far as, like, dating. And you boiled it down for both the men and women. Anything else you want to leave them after this story?
Honestly, man, I think the only advice I could really say is I think you should go hard and continue to try until you really, truly, honestly just feel like nothing else is going. Like, if you feel like you've done everything that you can do, you know what I'm saying, for a person, I feel like you should do that. Because I feel like a lot of people, like, when it gets down to the end, like, their effort starts to, like, kind of dwindle. And, you know, they just kind of like let things just kind of like fizzle out because they just be like, well, I ain't even going to try no more. But I don't know. Because for me, I feel like even though shit didn't work, like, I kind of feel like, you know how like in sports when like somebody's season is when you're like mathematically out of the playoffs or whatever, it's easy to check out. It's easy to just like give up and quit. Or whatever, but in reality, you kind of set in the standard for like your next season. Like, you playing so other people can see that, oh, he didn't quit, or other people can see, like, even when all the chips are down, like, this nigga still go hard. So I think in dating, I felt like at some point I was just like giving effort for my reputation. You know what I'm saying? Like, going forward, or really just setting a standard of like for niggas who gonna come into her life after me. You know what I'm saying? Because even though me and her didn't work, I would be willing to put money on the fact that if I'm not ranked number one in how dudes treated her, I'm definitely top three. I would even say top two. You know what I'm saying? So inadvertently, like, I'm indirectly probably set her standard a little bit higher for whoever is going to follow me. You know what I'm saying? So I guess just like leaving with that, like, kind of makes me feel, I guess it's like a good consolation prize, because it's like, you know, knowing that you the nigga who set the standard for whoever is going to follow you. It's just going to make it that much more difficult for a nigga to come after you. You know what I'm saying? Because whether we like to compare or not, I feel like, so, you know what I'm saying, subconsciously we kind of compare the new person to the last person in one way, shape, form, or another. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I can definitely feel that. That makes a lot of sense. Look at you. You just dropping knowledge over here, Jackson.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's just because it's late.
Yeah. I feel you, man. Let's go ahead and tell the people good night. Tell them where they can find you in the Sex with Strangers podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, my Instagram, my own personal one, is Jackson1616. That's JAXON1616. And, of course, on one-third Sex with Strangers podcast, or Sex with Strangers Grown Folks podcast, our Instagram is Sex with Strangers Podcast. That's our IG. So you can follow us on there. You can check us out. We got new episodes dropping every Monday. And yeah, man, we talk about all the good shit, man. We talk about dating, and we talk about fucking, we talk about head, we talk about sex, we talk about rim jobs, we talk about facials, we talk about threesomes, we talk about all that shit. So come check us out.
We'll definitely go and check them out. Thank you for listening. Jackson, tell the people good night. We're gonna go ahead and leave.
Yeah, I'm out. Good night.
If I gave you my love, I tell you what I do. I'd expect a whole lot of love out of you. You got to be good to me. I'm gonna be good to you. There's a whole lot of things you and I could do. Love me, and the way you squeeze me, yeah, it's simply beautiful, yeah, beautiful, yeah, when you get right down to it. Oh,